Father, we thank you, Lord, for our gathering together is indeed unto you today. Our fellowship is with you, also with one another. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon our minds, and we thank you that the entrance of thy word brings light and gives understanding. And so let it be even now and today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, yesterday we were talking about glorious things as spoken and written of you. I want to do part two today and share some more glorious things that are written of you and spoken of you in the Word of God. And we also need to do some discoveries on our own of the all the various things that the Lord has spoken about us. Today I want to focus on what the Lord speaks concerning, I alluded to this a little bit yesterday, but I want to speak some more on the heavy burdens and yokes that devil puts against people, as I sense in the spirit a lot of things going on, and the glorious things that God has spoken concerning. I also want to speak concerning the promise of success and celebrations, the promise of gladness and joy for you. Just want to speak of those things that the Lord has spoken. What do we mean when we say glorious things are spoken of us and written of us? Well, we spoke yesterday about the Word of God can be spoken and it can also be written. There's a lot of things in these scriptures for us to discover. All the various things that the Lord has said, the good things, some of them are in form of promises. Powerful things that the Lord has spoken in these scriptures. Now, let me read a portion of Psalm 87 to kick things off. It says, God's foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Well, that's the way the psalmist put it. But yesterday we proved that Zion is more than just the physical Zion. According to Hebrews 12:22, we are now in a spiritual Zion. And so the things that are spoken concerning Zion are physically, also symbolically spoken for us. So we can say it this way, glorious things are spoken of thee, O ye saints of the Lord. That's right. You know, we can say it that way. So some of the glorious things that are spoken about us are the promises that God has given us in the face of our troubles, afflictions, challenges, difficulties. Yesterday we dealt with, healing over sicknesses and a few other things, you know. So let's consider some of the glorious things that the Lord has spoken for us. And the purpose is that when we see or hear the Word of God, either you read it or you hear it, that it will inspire faith in our hearts, you know, to believe the Lord, you know, for the promises that He has given. On the one hand, people do experience challenges and stuff. But on the other hand, we know that the Lord is well aware of the whatever situation we are going through. And we see that the Lord has made several declarations in the Bible, you know, to get us out of difficult situations and things that the enemy put upon us. I want to remind us, I often like to talk about this because it's a fundamental principle that the devil uses to make sure that we don't, you know, progress in the in our relationship with God. You know, Pharaoh said in Exodus chapter 5, verse 5, the people of the land are now many, and you're making them to rest from their burdens. So Pharaoh the same day commanded the taskmasters, this is Exodus chapter 5, verses 5 through 9, he commanded the taskmasters of the people, and the officers saying, now there were taskmasters over the people. These were the people, the taskmasters were the officers that were put in place to make sure that these people remain in bondage and even to afflict them. You know, now those taskmasters, Pharaoh told them, don't even give the people any more straw to make brick, like you used to do up to Ponce Point, but let them go and gather straw for themselves. Go find it wherever. But you will not diminish the tale of bricks that they are supposed to bring every day. You know, there was a levy on them that you got to make so many bricks a day. But without straw and without provender, let them go figure it out themselves. You know, and ye shall not diminish aught. For these people are idle. They are idle. That's why they say, let us go and worship the Lord. You know, so same tactics. The devil is still laying to today. Let there be more work laying upon the men and the people that they may labor therein. Let them not have time to regard these vain words like I'm going to go serve the Lord and so forth. So this plan and this strategy from Pharaoh, the devil is still employing till today. Anytime we find that our situation, like on the job, for instance, becoming, you know, to the point, very stressful, to the point where you don't have time for anything else, or it takes away your drains, your energy, and all of these things, and even more and more and more, well, you know, it might be this plan of the enemy to make sure that you don't have breathing space. Be thinking about, you know, doing things for the Lord. There's other taxes that he uses too. Can bring afflictions in other ways. You know, on the job is just one means of affliction. Can bring it through sickness, through distress, through sorrow, and different afflictions, tragedy, and all kinds of things that can bring against the people. But let's see, you know, what the Lord, you know, promised, what the Lord promised us instead of all these afflictions that the enemy brings upon us. And the promises of God, even the declarations that God made to the children of Israel. For instance, in Leviticus 26 and 13, after he brought them out, he reminded them that he does not want them to go back into bondage. The reason I brought you out is so that you'll be free and don't go back in there. Praise the Lord. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 26 and 13, which brought you forth out of the land of bondage, the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. Broken the bands of your yoke, made you to go upright. Now, that's a glorious thing that the Lord has said concerning us, concerning you. The Lord said, I've broken the bands, you know, of your yoke. Glory to God. And I caused you to go upright, you know, because they were so bent over because of the heavy burdens that the enemy had put upon them, and they could not even stand up straight. And the Lord said, well, I've broken that, you know, so that you can stand up straight. That is very significant, you know, it's significant because of the situation that we find ourselves from time to time. In Psalm 55 verse 22, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. The Lord will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Praise the Lord. So, you know, that's another glorious thing. It comes in terms of admonition, but it also comes in terms of promise. An admonition for you to cast your burden upon the Lord. You know, like Jesus himself invited us in Matthew 11, 28. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. Give me your burdens. I'll take them. I'll trade you. You know, take upon you my own yoke, my own burden, and give me yours. for mine is easy, mine is light. Ah, you shall find rest to your souls. Glorious promises that the Lord speaks to us when we are facing situations. In the book of Psalm 107, verses 15 and 16, we see a declaration from God that the things that are holding us back, the Lord has broken them and shattered them. A glorious thing. When you find these glorious promises, you stand in them. Oh, that man would praise the Lord, the psalmist said. As a matter of fact, he lamented when he looked around and saw that people were not rejoicing in the deliverance that God had already given them. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has already broken the gates of brass and he has cut in sunder all the bars of iron. He has done it already. And so that's a glorious, a wonderful thing that the Lord has spoken concerning us. Praise the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 4, let's see the fury of the Lord against the oppressor. He said, well, every battle of the warrior, glory to God, is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this one, the way the Lord is coming through for you this time, is powerful. We're going to read verses 4 and 5 of Isaiah 9. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. God hath broken all the oppressing spirits. So he hath done it. So this is a glorious pronunciation that we can rejoice in and stand in every battle of the warriors with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this one, the Lord is coming for to fight for you with burning and fuel of fire. There'll be no rolling of blood on your side, maybe on the side of the enemy, but the Lord is going to fight for you. Glory to God. I've broken those things. These are powerful promises. Isaiah 10:27, the Lord breaks the yoke by reason of the anointing. Glory to God. Anointing of God is how the Lord breaks the yoke. And if you have the anointing, as it is written in the book of 1 John, it says, the anointing which ye have received is no lie. And, you know, you've already received the anointing. It's not that you are yet to receive it. And this anointing is with you and it can break every yoke. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 1 John 2 and verse 24 says, let that therefore abide in you. Let it remain in you what you have heard from the beginning and so forth. And continuing this. And this is the promise which is promised unto us when eternal life. And the anointing, he said in verse 27, which you have received of him, hallelujah, abideth in you. And you don't even need that anyone begin to teach you, but this same anointing will teach you of all things. And it's the truth, and it's no lie. Even as he hath taught you, you shall abide in him. So this anointing is with us. Isaiah 10 and 27. We know that it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. And because you have the anointing of the Lord with you, then we rejoice in this deliverance. It's a glorious thing that the Lord has spoken concerning us. Glorious, glorious things are spoken concerning you. Take note of these promises and use them for yourself. It shall come to pass in that day, such as today, that the burden of the Assyrian shall be taken away from thy shoulder, and his yoke shall be broken from off thy neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Praise the Lord. Here's another one in Isaiah 14, verses 24 to 25, talking about how the Lord delivers us from the oppressor. Huh. As I have thought, the Lord said, the Lord of hosts has sworn, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have proposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian. Huh. Glory to God. That's the oppressor. I will break the oppressor upon my mountains. I will tread him under. Then shall his yoke depart from off of you, and his burden shall be taken off of your shoulders. Now this is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. For I, the Lord of hosts, have purposed it, and who shall disannul it? And the hand of the Lord is stretched out, and who can turn it back? These are powerful promises you can use for yourself. When the enemy tries to put unnecessary yoke and burden upon you, you stand in this word. Say, the Lord have broken his yoke. Hallelujah. It's a song we used to sing, says, he has broken every yoke. Well, this is a positive declaration, a glorious thing to know that indeed the Lord has broken every yoke. And God has also given us the power that he has given us for us to snap that thing from ourselves. Isaiah 52 talks about, you know, the role that we must play in this process of being set free from oppression, the process of deliverance. There's a part also for self-deliverance. You know, God has given us the power to do so. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 10 and 19, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. To tread upon serpents, tread upon scorpions. This is the power that the Lord has given us. He said, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Isaiah 52 and verse 1. Put on thy beautiful garments. Talking about the holy city, Zion. And we talked about that, you know, refers to the gathering of God's people now. It's called a spiritual gathering, contains an innumerable company of angels, contains the spirits of just men made perfect, and it contains the church, the general assembly of the firstborn, contains God, the judge, and it contains Christ, the mediator of all. Hebrews 12, 22 through about 25. Now, he says, look, shake thyself from the dust. Isaiah 52 and verse 2. This is a powerful, you know, your commander in chief is telling you this. Arise and sit down. Loose thyself from the bands around your neck. You know, sometimes, you know, the Lord will remind you that he has broken it. But from time to time, when the enemy tries to put it back on you, this is your own responsibility. Don't let the devil put any yoke back around your neck. Loose yourself from it. Shake yourself from the dust. Glory to God. Now, sometimes most people sit in the dust when they are going through. People just sit in the dust and may bemoan their situation and so forth. You know, but no. The Bible says you should rejoice and be glad. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and let the King of glory come in. Shake yourself from the dust. God, the Lord has given us the victory already. The Lord has already done it. Glory to God. He said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 44 and in verse 23, he makes this powerful, declaration for us. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Praise the Lord. Even concerning our sins and transgressions, I have blotted out, he said in verse 22, as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a thick cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed you. I paid the price for our redemption. Jesus said, this is my flesh, which I will pay as a ransom for the life of the world. And he said, I've already done it. Sing, O ye heavens, the Lord has done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, because the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorify himself in Israel. You can put your name there, put your family name there as well. The Lord has already done it. Didn't say he's going to do it, but he has already done it. Praise the Lord. These are glorious things that the Lord has spoken for us concerning our redemption, concerning our deliverance, and concerning his promises towards us. Throughout the scriptures, God gives these kinds of promises, and these promises are there, that by them, the Bible says, that you might war a good warfare. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Praise the Lord. The God of heaven and earth is with you. Cast all your care upon him. 1 Peter 5:7. For he careth for you. Same thing as what we read in Isaiah 55:22. The God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, he said in verse 10 of 1 Peter 5, after that you suffered a while. Well, have you suffered a while? Well, yeah. But now in the aftermath of that suffering, he will now make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. I mean, there's always a greater, better, a brighter outlook, for today and tomorrow from the scriptures. Hallelujah. No matter where you were yesterday, no matter even where you are today, if it's not looking good, joy is coming in the morning. Psalm 30:5. Sorrow may endure for a moment and through the night, those dark hours, but he said, doubtless joy is coming in the morning. Glorious. These are glorious promises that are spoken concerning us. In the book of Psalm 126, the Lord gives this powerful promise. I mean, you've been praying, you've been believing God. Well, here's what he says. The Lord is going to turn our captivity. Said they that sow in tears shall definitely reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. These are powerful and glorious things. We know that there is answer waiting for us, and we call upon the name of the Lord. He will do it. Turn your tears of faith into a harvesting of joy. Praise the Lord. There are more and many glorious things that the Lord has spoken. Let's talk about God. The Lord promised you for successes and celebrations. These are glorious things that are spoken in the Bible for us. And he, along with some of them, he will also give you strategy of how to do it, but the outcome, if we follow his instructions, the outcome are glorious things. For instance, he said to to Joshua in Joshua, chapter 1:8, he gave him a strategy for continued success. Hallelujah. This book of the law, he said, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein concerning you. The things that are already written there, you got to figure it out and follow it. And then he said, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So, said glorious things. I'm going to have great successes. My way is going to be prosperous. God already said so. All I got to do is, you know, let not this word depart from my mouth. Well, why your mouth? Well, because you got to speak for the same things that God already spoke. Now, these are glorious things that God has spoken and written concerning us. In the book of Job, chapter 22, he also gives us, you know, a secret to how we will get great successes. In the book, in Job chapter 22, from verse 21 through the end, we read the secret of, you know, tremendous success. How do you do it? Well, here's what he said. And these are glorious things. You acquaint yourself with the Lord your God. And he said, you will be at peace and good shall come unto you. That's right. And he said, look, if you lay up his words in thy heart and you return to the Almighty, then you shall be built up. You will not be broken down. You will not be scattered or destroyed. You will be built up. Hallelujah. Said, look, when you put away iniquity from your tabernacles, then you lay up gold as dust. I mean, these are wonderful things. The gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook. Listen to this. The Almighty shall be your defense. Isn't that wonderful? Job 22 and 25. Almighty will be your defense. It's a glorious thing that the Lord has spoken. And thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty. When you do these things, gives you, you know, the ability for your prayer to move God, you know. When you make, I mean, there was a man called David. And he prayed, you know, from his heart and reached out to the Lord at times when his life was in jeopardy. He said, his sorrows of hell got a hold of me. And running helter-skelter for his life all the time. So I cried unto the Lord my whole heart. And the Lord heard me out of his holy temple. The Lord sent and he took me and he drew me out of miry clay. You know, and bitter waters and so forth. You know, the Lord blasted with his nostrils from heaven. He thundered with his voice. He sent coals of fire. I mean, one man's prayer can do all that, you know, because this was a man that, you know, had his heart set on praising the Lord. You know, say you have delight in the Almighty. When you make your prayer unto him, he shall hear you, but you must pay your vows. You know, sometimes people say, ah, when the Lord does this, I will do that. But when the Lord does that, they don't do the other, you know. So that's not a good thing. And that's not a good place to be. Pay your vows. You know, it is better that thou shouldest not vow, the scripture says, than that you should vow and not pay. You know, so do not vow anything that you are not willing to pay. When you pay, you know, there's some reasons why some things are held back. It could be because you have not paid what you vowed to the Lord, you know. And when you make a vow to the Lord, then defy not to pay. What is a vow? You know, and everybody makes vows in different ways. One woman called Anna in the Bible, she made a vow. You know, she said, well, you know, if you give me this man child, I will offer him back to the Lord all the days of his life. Well, and when the Lord did the thing, she did what she said. And the young man became a mighty prophet in the hand of the Lord. His name was Samuel. You know, so, but some other people may make a vow and may not pay. And the Lord, you know, doesn't want that. He says that when you make a vow, you know, defy not to pay, because the Lord has no pleasure, you know, in fools. A fool then is somebody that will make a vow but will not pay. And, you know, why should the angel be angry with you? Let's read some of these things in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, you know, from verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defy not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. You know, it is better for you not to vow or make a promise than that you should vow but not keep it. I mean, this scripture is very plain. I don't see that you can say it any other way. Be not rash with your mouth, he said, to utter anything in haste before the Lord, for God is in heaven and thou art upon the earth. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Therefore, let your words be few, you know. And then he comes to verse 4 and says, when you make a vow, you know, better make sure you pay. For the Lord hath no pleasure in fools. Better that you should not vow than that you vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. You know, neither say to the angel, well, it was an error, I made a mistake. Well, wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? So, and that's what Job was writing about. He said, look, when you pay your vows before the Lord, great things will happen to you. And you think, check yourself and see if you have made any promises to the Lord, which God will hold it. I mean, God makes his own promises and he stands by them. So he expects us also, when we make a promise to the Lord, that we should stand by it. Just like he stands by his own promises. You know, so you make your prayer unto him, he will hear you, you pay your vows. When you do that, he has a glorious thing that is spoken of you in Job 22 and verse 28. It said, thou shalt then decree a thing, shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon your ways. In fact, you will be a lifter-upper. When men are cast down, you will be saying to them, there's a lifting up. It also means that when others are down, God will cause your own situation to flourish. Glory to God. These are wonderful and powerful declarations that God has made concerning you. You can call them glorious things. However, he gives us some instructions, you know, in some of these places of how, you know, to do it. The Lord has spoken. You know, let us rejoice in his word. You can search the scriptures for many of these glorious and wonderful things that the Lord has spoken concerning us. Praise the Lord. Here is another one in Psalm 108 and verse 13. Through God shall we do valiantly. That's right. For it is that shall tread down our enemies. Well, did the Lord say that? Well, absolutely. Will you do valiantly through God? Absolutely. And this is a promise of success and victory for you, whatever you lay your hands to do. You know, the psalmist, oftentimes he mixes prayers with prophetic declarations, and we just have to use the mind of the Lord to decipher the glorious things that are in between those verses. For instance, there is one here in Psalm 90 where he talks about, it's like a prayer, but it's also like a declaration. You know, he said, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, Psalm 90 and verse 14. That we may rejoice, that we may be glad our days. Well, make us glad according to the days wherein we received affliction. You know, in the years where we see evil and we've seen evil, or turn things around for us. Let your work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. It's a prayer, but it's also a declaration. Let the beauty, when you say let, it's a prayer, but it's also a declaration. Let the beauty of the Lord, our God, be upon us. That's right. Establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. You know, so we see that, you know, the Lord has declared these great things for us, you know, and we receive them. And we rejoice in the successes, the declarations, you know, that God has made for us. The Lord, you know, will pull you out of whatever situation you are in. According to Psalm 40, he said, I waited on the Lord patiently. He heard my voice. He pulled me out of the miry clay, set me on the rock with a song in my mouth. And we can experience the same thing that this man was talking about and giving a testimony. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He says in the book of Psalm 73, you know, let's read a couple of verses there. He say, well, the Lord has holding me up by his right hand. You know, that is 73 and 23. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Afterward, receive me to glory. That's a powerful, glorious thing. Even uses the word glory there. The glorious thing that the Lord has promised us. He will guide you where you are here on earth. And afterward, he will receive you into his glory. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. This is exactly, you know, what the Lord has promised. Glory to God. Now, we must draw near unto the Lord. Draw near unto him in every situation when we draw near unto him. Verse 26 of that same, you know, powerful chapter says, God is the strength. You know, even when my heart, my flesh are failing, the Lord has promised to be your strength. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Isn't that beautiful? And here's another promise of joy, peace, and celebrations that are coming your way. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 12. This again, these are glorious things that the Lord has spoken for us. And you take these things and run with them for yourself. Declare them. You know, when you stand in what you might think is darkness and there is no light, you know, when you are in a dark place, some people say, well, I'm in a dark place. Well, I don't know why you should be, because the Lord is the light of your life. But here is the promise that the Lord gave in Isaiah 55 and verse 12. For ye shall go out with joy and you'll be led forth with peace. These are powerful promises. The mountains and the hills that break forth before you into singing. These mountains know you're coming. And they'll be rejoicing. Praise the Lord. All the trees of the field, those are like people that the Lord will line up, celebrate your success. And they will clap their hands because you're coming. They see you and they begin to clap. Celebrate you. Celebrate success. Celebrate the goodness of the Lord with you. Joy and gladness. Instead of thorn, they shall come off the fir tree. Instead of the briar, they shall come off the myrtle tree. And the Lord, you know, will make a name for himself through your testimonies. It will be an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The Lord does these things. And even when we are going through a lot of things, there is a promise at the end of the road. Here's one of the promises, Isaiah 35:10 and Isaiah 51:11. I'm going to read it out of 51:11. Same kind of thing. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing into their own place. Zion is our place. You know, everlasting joy shall be upon our head, and we shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow, and mourning shall flee away. Praise the Lord. Even I, he said, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that I should be afraid of a man that shall die? Are you afraid of people? And of a son of man that shall be made as grass. In the meantime, you forget the Lord your maker that has stretched forth the heavens, the foundations of the earth. And you feared every day continually, you know, because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And the Lord said, where is the fury of the oppressor? I'm looking for it. I can't find it. The thing that you are afraid of is like a smoke. The Lord has blown it away. So I can't even find it. Glory to God. You know, so let us rejoice in the Lord. These are the things that the Lord has promised us. Great and marvelous things. There's no need for us to be afraid of anyone. When you go out, it will be with joy. When you come in, it will be with peace. God promises rejoicing for us everywhere. The voice of joy, these are glorious things, you know, and the voice of gladness, you know, shall be with you. Jeremiah 30:19. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. That's right. And the voice of them that make merry, these things will be in your house. I will multiply you and you shall not be few. Glory to God. I will also glorify them. These are glorious things. And you shall not be small. Your children shall be as aforetime. The congregation, your children will be great and strong. Congregation even shall be established before me. Punish all that oppress them. Oh, powerful, powerful promises. And, you know, the Lord has spoken these things for us. Let us rejoice in the knowledge of what God has given us. You know, there are glorious things, more even that the Lord has spoken, you know, concerning your children. Here are some glorious promises that the Lord spoke concerning your children, especially maybe your grown children, maybe your teenage children, maybe whatever, you know, if they walk away from the Lord. Remember, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is grown, he will not depart from me. Well, sometimes they do depart. But here is the promise, and a glorious promise. In case they do depart, here is what the Lord said. Jeremiah 31. And it says in verses 16 and 17, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping. Yeah, you've been crying over these children and so forth. And thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. The work in training them up in the name of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, the promise that God said, they shall not depart. If they do depart, the Lord said, your work shall be rewarded, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thy end, said the Lord, that thy children, he's talking about children here, thy children shall come again to their own border. Isn't that beautiful? That's a glorious thing. You stay with that word and stay with that promise. They're coming. The prodigal son departed, but he came back. Glory to God. The Lord said they will come back to to their own place. They will come back to their own border, even if they did depart. You know, it's a marvelous thing when the Lord promised something. Let me share this thought with you. Think about it. When the Lord says something and it goes in a different direction, what must you do? Well, there are many lessons like that in the Bible, even many stories. The Lord sent Moses to go deliver the children of Israel. All of a sudden, their situation got worse. And it looks like, you know, some people say it gets worse before it gets better. Well, their own got seriously worse. As Pharaoh made their situation even more so, you know, difficult, just because they said, let us go. And Moriah said, well, no, I'm not going to let you go. I don't know the Lord. Who's this God that I should obey his voice? I don't know him. And I'm going to make your situation worse. You know, and sometimes the Lord taught us this lesson himself. I mean, the Lord, the master himself, he taught us this lesson. And you can find this lesson in the book of John, you know, chapter 11. You know, there was a story of this family, these young people. One was, they had two sisters and a brother, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Jesus used to visit them, so they knew they had favor with him. One day, Lazarus fell sick, grievously sick. Doctors couldn't help him and everything. And he was dying. You know, I don't know what kind of sickness it has. Maybe his temperature was through the roof. Maybe his blood pressure was through the roof. Who knows? But he was dying. So they sent, the two sisters sent some word to Jesus. Jesus at that time happened to have traveled away a bit. Was in the vicinity. But they sent word to him. And they said, Lord, our brother is grievously ill. So they figured within their hearts, since they were kind of close to Jesus and Jesus was, you know, kind of visited them and everything, that, you know, he would just do something. But Jesus did nothing. So this is a story that is so powerful. It seemed as if Jesus did nothing. In fact, here's the statement that Jesus made. They said, well, you know, they sent him and said, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. So they are going to use that to try to gain and ascertain this favor and, you know, leverage with him. They say, well, this is, you know, we know you love this young man. He's now sick, so do something. They appeal to him, his emotions there. The man you love is sick. You know, do something. So when Jesus heard that, listen to this. John chapter 11, verse 3, and now verse 4. So when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, he made this point blank statement that the sickness is not unto death. Now, follow me as I take us through this lesson with this thing that Jesus said here. Now, he said, when Jesus therefore heard that Lazarus was sick, instead of he going and doing something about, or even speaking a word, I mean, we've seen Jesus many times, he just spoke the word, said, go, thy faith has made thee whole, or go, you know, your daughter is healed, or this and this, or to the centurion, go, your servant is healed. I mean, he could have just said a word. He didn't need to go anywhere. He could have just said a word and he did nothing. You know, in fact, the Bible says, because these people are asking him to come, the Bible says that he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Instead of say, hey, Lazarus is sick, let's go over there. He stood there, stayed there 2 more days. This man was at the point of death and Jesus yet waited until the situation got even worse. Yet he said this sickness is not unto death. So ladies and gentlemen, let's analyze this thing. You know, if Jesus said the sickness is not unto death, then a few days later, he heard that Lazarus was dead. What does he mean? I mean, why would Jesus say the sickness is not unto death and then the man died? So that's the thing. This is exactly where you must put your faith. If the Bible says your children will not depart, say train them up in the way they should go, they will not depart. And they depart. Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. And the man died. Well, what does it mean? It means that because Jesus said is not unto death and the man died, Jesus is going to reverse that situation as if he never died. That's what it means. You know, so he will reverse the situation with your children though as if they never left. They must come back because he said they will not depart. And if so, if they depart, then that means they must come back. Now, if the Lord said he's not unto death and the man dies, that means the man must come back alive. Because unto death means it's not final. See, people think that death is final. When somebody dies, they think that's it. It's over. There's nothing you can do for them. In fact, there are some cultures and some religions. When somebody dies, they must bury them right away. Because they think that it's final. There's nothing else you can do for them. And they won't give the Lord a chance to do anything. They say, well, you know, dead. That's it. But Jesus is saying, look, this sickness is not going to end up like that. But the man died. And so when the man died, well, Jesus, they sent to him again that the man is dead. And so Jesus said, well, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. Now let's go and wake him up. So the disciple says, sleeping? What do we need to go wake him up for? You know, if he's sleeping, he shall do well. Because they thought he was just talking about taking rest and sleep. So Jesus had to tell them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, put yourself in the situation of the disciples when Jesus made that statement. Because they remembered what he said. But you said, this sickness is not unto death. Why are you telling us now that the man is dead? Didn't you say that this sickness is not unto death? I mean, these people have gotten to the point where they're used to taking Jesus at his word. They've seen all the things that he said. They know him. They know his word. They know how, if he says it, it's just like that. And then he said that this sickness is not unto death. Everybody said, cool. You know, let's move on. And then he comes back and says, but the man is dead. Just imagine, you know, the disappointment and the confusion that could go through their minds. And Jesus said the man will not die. You know, that's the way they interpreted what they thought Jesus said, that the man would not die. Well, that's not what Jesus said, though. What he said is that the sickness is not unto death. It's not unto the final state. So, but the man died. So when Jesus now said the man's dead, I wonder. Now Jesus says, well, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Well, because if he was there, he probably would have, you know, just healed the man, you know, while he was sick so that he wouldn't die. He said, well, I'm glad that I was not there for your sakes. Because he wanted to show them something. That though the man were dead, yet shall he live again. But up till this time, Jesus had not been able to show his disciples that he can call somebody out of the grave. He has not done it. There has been no situation. He has raised some people who have been carried in caskets to be buried. He has raised somebody who died on the bed and so on. I mean, but he has not called somebody from the grave. He hasn't done it yet. So he's going to show them this one. So, you know, the rest of the story finally calls Lazarus out of the grave. And Jesus, that was the thing that Jesus was trying to show. But here is the way I interpret the story. If the Lord tells me something point blank, like there's a glorious thing that I see in the scripture concerning me, as we're talking about in this lesson, and yet the thing goes south, well, here is my resolve. I am resolved in my heart that the Lord must turn that thing back around to come back to what he already said. That's it. You know, If the Lord said, this sickness is not of death and the man died, well, the Lord must bring that man back out of the death. It's just that simple. So that it will be as if he didn't die. But that's what he said. So that gives me faith and confidence when I find some glorious thing that the scripture has said concerning me. Well, if my situation is otherwise, then, I know in my heart that the Lord's got to bring it around. Just like this story. And at the end of the day, it was as though the man never died. But he did die. And through his resurrection, through his being raised back to life in his physical body, he did not get that new body. He got the old body back. Through all of that, God got glory. Now, the Son of God was glorified. It wasn't through his death, but it was through his being called out of the grave. Nobody had ever seen such a thing. This man, by the time Jesus got, to where they were, it had been many days since the man had died. They'd been mourning and actually buried the man. I mean, just think about that. Why would the Lord allow them to go through all that suffering? To the point where mourners, even professional mourners, came to mourn with them. They spent a lot of money preparing his body for the burial. Spent money buying a sepulcher, putting him in there, and all of that. And if you're going to heal the man, heal him already. Why go let him die and do all this stuff? Well, his ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. And there are some things, the glory of God is higher than whatever. Now, unfortunately, there are some very hard things to swallow in the scriptures, like this one. Why must the man die in order for the glory of God to be revealed? Why must his family suffer that pain for days and cry and do all these things? Well, glory of God is greater. It's just that simple. And who are we to argue with God? I mean, there was a man, there was a story that we read in the book of John, chapter 9. This man, we are told he was born blind, and by this time around, he's already about 40 years old. And one day, the disciples asked Jesus, this man that was born blind, what was the reason? Was it this man who sinned? Or his parents that caused him to be born blind? And the answer of Jesus, is one of the things that I find difficult in these scriptures to swallow. Well, I found it difficult at one time. I understand it perfectly now. But Jesus said, neither has this man sinned nor his parents. Well, that part is not difficult. But here is the difficult part. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Works of God? I mean, are you telling me that the works of God being made manifest is more important than this man's suffering for 4 years? I mean, 40 years? Well, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what Jesus is saying here. This man suffered for 40 years, his parents, everybody, his life was in darkness for 40 years. And Jesus said it wasn't anything that he did wrong, even not his parents. But there was a plan of God to show the works of God in this man. This man was picked that at some point in time, after 40 years, God will show that no matter how long your situation had lingered, could be 40 years, could be more. God can change that story. That was the lesson that was going to be learned. My goodness. And the man had to suffer all that. That's why it was difficult for me to process that some time back. Process it. Lord, why would you allow this? I mean, isn't there some other way that you can show your works? I mean, so man that was blind for 40 years, you knew you were going to heal him. Why did you wait that long? you can ask any question you want. He may answer and he may not answer. But you know, who art thou that replies against God, O man? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? We are the clay, and he is the potter. Cannot the potter do with the clay as he seemeth good in his sight to do it? These are questions, and the Lord showed us here. So this was another one that the Lord showed us the reason for that. I digressed a little bit here to explain to us that when the Lord says something and it seems as if the thing is not going the way he said it, especially some of these glorious things that we are reading concerning the Lord's word to us, and it looks like your life is going the opposite direction. Well, be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10, you know, reveals this lesson to us. He said, look, you've received the word of God and you have believed it, like today. But yet, you are sitting in darkness. Say, who is it that is among you that feareth the Lord? The Lord said, you know, Psalm 112, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in to do his commandments. His seed, I mean, shall be mighty upon his heart. Wealth and riches shall be in his heart. While you are fearing the Lord, wealth and riches will be in your life and your house. You are fearing the Lord. You are doing all these things. But maybe your seed are not mighty upon the earth. Maybe wealth and riches are not in your house. You know, but yet the Lord said these things. So how do we process when the Lord has spoken glorious things? This is how I want to end my lesson today. How do we process when the Lord has spoken glorious things concerning us, but yet, you know, the situation is exactly the opposite? How do you process it? Well, here is the answer right here. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10, he said, look, who is among you that feareth the Lord? Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly to do his commandments. Well, you fear the Lord, you are obeying his voice, delighting to do his commandments, and yet you are in darkness. Whereas Jesus said, you know, he that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. But you are in darkness, even though you are following the Lord. Darkness means you can't hear the voice of the Lord. Darkness means things are not going your way. You know, you're praying the Lord to bless you, you lose your job. You know, I mean, you're praying for, you know, I mean, you're believing God, you know, for things, and all of a sudden a family member gets sick, and you're in hospital, or people are doing this, and all kinds of things. But yet the Lord has promised the opposite, the exact opposite, glorious things. But yet your life is in shambles. Well, what must we do? He said, here's what you do. In such a situation, let him remain in the position of trusting in the name of the Lord. Don't give in and don't give up. And stay upon his God. That's right. That's what you do. You bring to mind those promises and you trust him through the process. And you stay with him and you keep declaring what he said. Never mind what you see or don't see. Just declare what he said. That's so powerful. You know, because God recognizes that, look, sometimes, and there may be things, you know, it could be sometimes maybe because we did not learn, you know, how to appropriate, you know, his word. That's why we teach the process of faith. You know, how you practicalize it. You can even make it a science. There's some things you can do and it works. But if you do all those things and it still doesn't work, then what? Should we just pack it in and give up? No. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Let him trust that the Lord will, you know, watch over his name and let him stay on his God. Told you some years ago on this platform or months ago, you know, that God's name carries his reputation and his word is his bond. The word of the Lord is his bond. If he says it, that's it. It's bound by it. And his name is his reputation, just like the name of a king. You know, a king is known, just like he said, a child is known by their ways. A king is known by the welfare of his citizens. That's how a king is known. You know, some of us don't know about kings and kingdoms, but In a real kingdom, it's all about the welfare of the citizens. You know, if you say you are a king, yes, your citizens are in penury. What kind of king are you? You know, so the name of the Lord is a banner. You know, it's a flag that we carry. You know, it's the thing that carries his reputation. In fact, all the things in the Bible that, you know, the Bible says even Pharaoh, God raised him up and did all these things, hiding his heart that he might get his name renowned throughout the earth. I mean, so God does these things. Ezekiah, when he was praying, you know, when Sennacherib and Rabshakeh came to chide them and to say, well, you better submit to us because otherwise, we're going to destroy you like they destroyed all the other nations, and we'll cast their gods into the fire. And Ezekiah turned to the Lord and prayed and said, Lord, of a truth, they have cast all those people and their gods into the fire. They've destroyed them, cast their gods into the fire because they were no gods. He said, but you, glory to God, you are the God, the very God, you know, that sits between the cherubims, you know, that's what he said. And he said, Lord, and then he prayed this powerful prayer. He said, well, you know, let me read it to you in Isaiah chapter 37. You know, he said, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel. This is verse 15, verse 16. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear, and open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of this Sennacherib and Rabshakeh that they have sent to reproach the living God. Now, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all those nations and those countries. True, they did that. And they did cast their gods into the fire, Lord, just like they boasted. They did. Because they were no gods. But they were works of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. They couldn't talk. There was no hearing, no voice from those so-called gods. But now, therefore, oh God. Now, look at this prayer. This prayer is so powerful. This last part of it. After he had told God and contrasted God against all these other things, so you are the God that dwell in the midst of the cherubims. Now he said, now therefore, O God, save us from his hand. Why? You know, did he say, save us from his hand so that our land be not destroyed? You know, like they destroyed those other nations. Did he say, save us from his hand so that our wives not become widows? Did he say, save us from his hand that our children will not lose posterity? I mean, our children will not become fatherless? You say all those things? No. He said, save us, O Lord, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know your name. That's right. It's all about the name. You know, that thou art the God and the Lord, even thou only. Now, when you make it like that, see, when you challenge God like that to make his name glorious, and you challenge him, you know, to come through for his name's sake, now God's going to do something about it. You know, these people, they knew the right buttons to press when they talked to the Lord. David knew. Hezekiah knew. Yeah, he was a great grandson of David. He knew it too. You know, and he said, look, I know that you are the God that's different. These other things are no gods. Now show thy great power and come through and deliver us so that people may know your name. That's right. Now that's what God is all about. You know, defending his word and making his own name glorious. So, the words that God has spoken to you that you may find in the scriptures, when you find those glorious words and you are using them before the Lord to plead your cause, just like Isaiah said, plead your cause, bring your strong reason. You know, let us reason together. And, you know, tell us so that you may be justified. Well, when you are doing that, do it for his glory. It's not just save me, Lord, because I'm perishing. But save me, Lord, that the people may know that you are a God that answers a prayer. And when you put it, when you put God in a corner like that, well, then he's going to come through. And it came through for Ezekiah in a marvelous way. He said, don't worry about it. You know, I'm going to send this man. I put a blast in his nostril and different things. I mean, I'm going to put a hook in his nose. He said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Sent an angel down there. One angel. One night, 185,000 of the armies that came against them were slain because he made it God's fight. So that's our wrap for today's lesson. As you discover these glorious things that the Lord has said about you, when you use them, remember in your heart to make the reason why you believe that God must come through for you. Well, number one, because he said so. And number two, that the name of the Lord might be glorified. So when you are in that situation, make your boast about the name of the Lord when you are even in that situation, before God even does it. You know, and you put his name out there, he's going to have to do something about it. Praise the Lord. It's much, that's much, much more powerful than our pain and our suffering. You say, well, that's a bit callous. No, that's a lesson we see from the scriptures. You know, that God's name, for him to defend his own name and his own reputation, hallelujah, is higher than anything else. And he will do it too. So, ladies and gentlemen, praise the Lord. Let's produce our strong cause. Well, what is your reason, you know, that you believe that the Lord should answer you and confirm all these glorious things that he has spoken concerning you? What is your reason? Well, let's read two verses out of Isaiah. Isaiah 41:21, you know, and Isaiah 43:13. Let's read Isaiah 41:21 and see what did the Lord say? Well, he said, produce your strong cause. Bring it. You know, let's see it. What's your argument? Praise the Lord. You know, produce your cause, said the Lord, and bring your strong reasons. You know, said the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth. Show us, you know, these things. And, you know, prove your case, the Lord said. And if you are able to do it, well, you do it right, the Lord will come through for you. Praise the Lord. You know, so when we make our stand before the Lord, well, the Lord will say to you, who can deliver out of my hand? Who can deliver out of the Lord's hand? You know, praise God. You can't do it. The Lord's hand is strong on your behalf. Yes. And the Lord wants you to declare his word, and he will give you that victory. Praise the Lord. Produce your strong cause and bring your reasons before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let the Lord hear it from your mouth, and let us reason together. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today as we believe the word of the Lord. You say, before the day was, I am he. There's none that can deliver out of my hand. I will walk, and who shall let it? Thank you, Jesus. These are the things, Lord, that you have promised us. You have given us your word. You have given us, and we believe it. Praise God. And we trust you, Lord. Put me in remembrance. He says again in Isaiah 43 and 26. Let us plead together. Declare it, that thou mightest be justified. Father, we declare your word today, these glorious things that are spoken of us concerning all these wonderful promises that we have read. And we stand in the word of the Lord tonight. I mean today. We stand in this word of the Lord this morning. We stand in the word of the Lord this afternoon, declaring the word of the Lord. And it shall not depart from our mouth. But we say, Lord, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let the people know that the Lord is God. Show forth, O Lord, your deliverances. Command deliverances for Zion and for Jacob and for your people that are here. That all the people around may know that the Lord our God, he is God. Thank you, Father. We thank you for these precious promises. They make us partakers of the divine nature. We are strengthened by them. And your name is a banner over us. We give you, Lord, praise and glory. These glorious things that are spoken of us, Lord, we declare them for ourselves today and every day. We use your word and we use our faith in your word to believe and to call for things that are not as though they already are. Everything that you already spoke, Lord, we know it shall be because you finished it before you even started it. So, whereas it's not looking right now like what you promised or said, we declare that it is so and cause it, Lord, to come to pass that it may be so. Hallelujah. For I, the Lord, have created it. I, the Lord, have caused it to come to pass. Thank you, Jesus. We rejoice. We glorify your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.